Okay, we are good to go. So welcome everyone on the ARIES Working Group call, morning edition. A short reminder for everyone who is new that the call is recorded. Recording will be posted at the bottom of the page at the end of the call. I will paste the link to the wiki. As always, if you'd like to leave out some contact details, you can fill out your name and the email address on the attendees list, so everybody else will be able to find you. A reminder about the antitrust policy for the Linux Foundation, and we go straight to the agenda. So first of all, we start with the announcements. Is anyone on the call would like to provide an announcement? I have just one, but maybe I will wait at the end. Any other announcements from the community, related events, related efforts? Okay. Then I will just start with this. So as you know, Trust over IP is getting shaped, and it was announced a couple of weeks ago. One of the thing which we are preparing from the Human Colossus Foundation together with Paul Knowles, we are trying to bootstrap a working group, one of the first in the Trust over IP. It will be about decentralized semantics. So as you may be aware of, within the sovereign and the indie community, there was a semantic working group, which was led by Paul Knowles. This one will be closed, and we will move the effort and the discussions under the Trust over IP to expand a little bit the audience and the topic. There is a link within the wiki here, which you can take a look on. There is a description of the working group, what it's about, and if you are interested in joining that that discussions, you can add up your contact details to the table at the end of the document, and then we'll contact you as soon as we'll get everything up and running. Good. Any information from the related calls? Maybe a bit from the previous working group, ARIES, last week.
So this is Steve McCown. We're having the Identity Implementers working group tomorrow. And we'll go over a bunch of things from all the other groups. And then also Matt Norton from Street Cred is going to give us a demonstration presentation on some of the work that they're doing.
He says Street Creeps, right?
Yes.
It will happen tomorrow. Okay, perfect. Any other?
The ARIES call last week, we talked about connectionless issue. Apparently Street Cred's in the news a lot. Tomislav came and talked about that. Had some good conversations. And then we talked about import-export for ARIES agents. And that was a good discussion too. Ended up with some really good notes. And that recording's been posted.
Yep. Okay, great. Any other related calls? Good. So let's move on to the release status and the work updates. This is something which actually I would like address during the agenda today, but let's go through it. ARIES protocol test suite. ARIES agent test harness. Anything from ARIES shared? Anyone would like to give an update? What's going on? Okay, Cloud Agent Python.
No updates there.
No updates. Any of the Ares framework? Go, Ruby, Java, JavaScript. No updates. I will just add regarding the Ares toolbox, there is some ongoing discussions which I would like to address at the end of this call about creating two separate branches for the standalone version and the web version. We are moving forward with the implementation of the web version, but we would like to backport all the changes which we are doing directly to the Ares toolbox standalone version, because there is no reason why we could not have them in both. So one of the main features which we are focusing right now is the verifiable credential link to the OCA. So portability of the data, which is directly related with some efforts which we are involved with. Moving forward, reach schemas. We do not have Ken on the call, no. And Ursa. Okay, good. So from the agenda today, there is a few topics wanted to put on the call, but actually it was hard to get people with the timeline. But this is what I prepared for today is one of the discussions which I would like to bootstrap within the community. It's directly related with this release status and the work updates. So I don't know if you are aware of the initiative, which is called Can I Use? And this is something which is basically dedicated for the browsers. So you can pick any features from the browsers and you can figure it out where actually you can use it, where you cannot use it. It's very helpful for the developers and as well for the people from, let's say, edge of the technology to try it out and play with the technology. And within the Human Colossus Foundation, we are preparing exactly similar features actually based on the same code base for the wallets. So we would like to have a possibility to browse the features based on the specific implementation and let people to obviously put their own wallets, implementation of the TDAs or whatever you call it, which provides you the support for a specific feature. So you could imagine that you could type verifiable credential here, and then you will see all the wallets which are known to the community, which are able to issue credential or receive credential or store credential and so on. So obviously from the perspective of the Ares working group, this update which we are giving here, obviously this is quite often very low level, mostly for the implementers and the developers, but similar update and similar kind of status of the whole ecosystem, we would like to see on the kind of much more user level and the business level. And this is why I would like to ask you, what do you think about such approach? If you know anything about similar initiative within our community or maybe outside, to get to that point to provide meaningful information for everyone who are actually trying to dig into this community and play with this technology. Does anyone have any comments regarding that before we move on?
I love the idea. This seems very related to the interoperability profile efforts.
Exactly.
And that it would be useful for that to be incorporated somehow, although that doesn't negate the need to discover the support for individual features. So the other thing that I'd mention too is that the RFCs at the bottom do have a table for listing the status of the support by various code bases, which is also related. And it strikes me that either that data could be used and surfaced in a, you know, a nice collected interface, or perhaps that mechanism could be altered so that there's sort of one place we go as a community to update that information rather than necessarily going to several places. So what I mean is if there's some other mechanism that we have as a community to use, perhaps updating the bottom of RFCs isn't as needed.
Exactly. And one of the kind of start point, actually, that was kind of way as I was thinking about it, that basically this will be one of the first inputs to those staff. So basically, based on the RFCs, we can see the level of the implementation in specific solutions. And definitely, I mean, we need to figure it out where actually we could put those information if we can keep it in the RFC and pull it from there, because it's possible, and then eventually extend it by some other features. But definitely this is something which is the reason why we started thinking about can I use is that a lot of things or a lot of projects which we are interacting with the businesses, they are not familiar with the let's say technology behind it, right? So when they hear the wallet and they hear VC and the blockchain, that's all what they understand. So for them, it would be nice to have some kind of decent presentation of what is the status of that specific technology, how vast adoption is already there, how many wallets, for example, support that, and what kind of wallets I can use to actually, you know, log in via SSI to my portal or receive credentials or issue credentials and so on. So this helps a lot for those who are actually building on top of it. I know that it's very early still with this technology, but we already see the businesses building on top of it. So we thought about moving that step further instead of letting them going through all the RFCs and trying to understand which one is about what. We're just providing some kind of user-friendly interface to that database and get everything clarified in a much more human readable way. So maybe a question, is there anyone, I see a few names here, who actually building a wallet solution and will be interested in being listed in such a repository through such a mechanism? And what do you think about that? Sorry for picking names, but maybe Tomislav, do you have any comment about that?
No, so yes, while we are building a wallet, it is built on the current indie wallet technology. We're not necessarily adding any specific layers on top of it other than Aries. So I'm not sure if this would use implementations or it would actually refer to, for example, you know, again, indie wallet, identity hubs, secure storage, or anything else that's out there. But either way, we would definitely be interested in you know, providing a status of a level of support.
Perfect. I mean, all about this idea is that what Sam mentioned is interoperability and basically making sure that we can be compatible across different types of the implementation, not necessarily only the one which is indie based, but as well other wallets which are built around and show to the community how mature the technology is and businesses so they can pick it up on it and work on that. Is there anyone on the call who actually building a wallet solution?
Indicio Tech is I'm not yet directly super involved in the project, but they are building one. They're going to be working on a mobile one, as well as working alongside of Akapai. So,
right. So this is as well indie-based technology in the back.
It is currently The goal, of course, is to migrate as soon as we can to, you know, Aries standard stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously from the perspective of the Aries and the RFCs were created exactly for this one, to align people with the implementation and let them build on top of it with assurance that basically they will be compatible in some way as soon as they are stick to the standard which is defined within the RFC, right? So that
brings up a question. What is the focus, to be protocol compatibility, or is it to be internal compatibility?
So it's a good question, and I don't know the answer. I don't know how deep we want to go with it. I mean, obviously, from the perspective of the user don't want to think of the protocols. He wants to think of the features, right? So if I will pick that wallet, can I do this and that, right? Can I receive VC? Can I issue VC? Can I verify VC, right? So this is the way how we started thinking about that, but it doesn't have to be so high level. It could go in you know, different levels of the complexity, and this can be hide behind the front end, which will present that. The question is, what would be much more beneficial for the community, and as well, obviously, this could be one of the step or kind of one of the integration point is to integrate that with the protocol test suits and the test harness which was developed within the Aries community, to be able to test it against those agents, those wallets, everything which basically will be listed there. So you can see up-to-date status about what is working and what's not.
So it strikes me that it's protocols and also things like key support and credential type support, but not necessarily the internal libraries used to do that. That could be another factor, but it doesn't really matter if you're indie-based or not, if you also have support for other things, is kind of what I'm thinking about. So from an interoperability perspective, I don't think it matters. So when you say feature, I think the feature actually shows up in a couple of different ways, in that it's not just protocols, it's also like credential and key formats as well.
Correct. You're right. I mean, that's what the user care about, right? And the businesses care about. They are not much interested about what is the background technology which actually runs that, as soon as it fulfills their requirements, right? So, and quite often we are getting a lot of questions about that in the context of the VCs. That okay, how and where I can actually issue or receive VC, how I can use it, can I use this wallet to log into that website, and so on and so on. So basically, from the perspective of the feature, in the sense of what I can do with it, and obviously this allows you to compare as well as solutions and position Aries and all other solutions on the market in that space, to figure it out what are the limitations of specific solutions. Like, let's say if you are based on indie technology, what you can do and what you cannot do, right? So one of the famous one with the limitation of the VC and the attributes and stuff like that. So obviously, from the business perspective or from the user perspective, this kind of information is very handy if it will be provided in a very seamless way through the simple front end. So you can read up, okay, those are the limitations, those are the supported features, those are the possibilities which I can do with this technology, and this supports, let's say, multiple different types of the VCs, different protocols, different communication layers, whatever comes into it. So that's overall the idea, how we would like to present those stuff, because obviously it's not about just a specific implementation, but overall as a technology which is expanding from the identity solution up to the semantic and the data vaults and integration with this kind of parts. Okay.
Good. I have comments? A question. Sure. May I?
Yeah, sure.
This is Scott Swazinski. I'm from Chainyard. We're toying with the idea of building a wallet. But what the things you're talking about, I keep bouncing my head back and forth between two levels. So one is you've got the different frameworks within Aries and what they can do, and that information would be used by the people that would implement a wallet. But then the next level, you're also talking about if we represent the wallets in this chart, and then each of those would show what features they support, but they're built on Aries frameworks and like what versions of the protocols they've implemented and whatnot. So there's sort of a mapping here and leveling. I'm still struggling with what's your target audience and who are we building this for and how. So I'm not sure what all, if it's a combination of the right. two that you're trying to build a nice all-inclusive everything that's supported. Cause with my wallet, am I going to build on Akapai or am I going to build on, it makes a difference in terms of the wallet itself, but then how the wallet can be used is based on how the UIs and everything else has been implemented as well. So exactly. Is this supposed to represent what Aries can do or what a place to register my wallet that I can say what my wallet can do?
Yeah, so basically it's kind of both thing. So obviously one level is to show the interoperability of the technologies which we are building. So it goes beyond Aries and beyond Hyperledger ecosystem. We would like to include all of them. Means that if there is Ethereum wallet, which has nothing to do with Indy, but they can issue credential and they are able to provide you DID with some sort of identity, so some kind of wallet, as we call them, definitely we would like to have that on the list. Then obviously from the perspective of the specific implementation, you will see that, okay, if you have a wallet ABC, which is running on the .NET implementation of Aries, you could have the detailed list of the features which are available there in the space of the Aries ecosystem. But the most important, I think, the most important from the interoperability point of view is this higher level feature sets which are supported, right? So if we have a wallet which is based on Indy technology, no matter which kind of framework you picked to build it, the question is, does it work with anything else than the stuff which is within that specific ecosystem, right? That what kind of VC I'm able to issue? Who will be able to receive it? Who will be able to talk with me? And this kind of interaction. So so obviously we can go as deep as we want. There is no reason for that. And even this is what I was thinking about, this kind of release statuses which we have all the time in the work updates. Obviously not always possible to get the updates from everyone from the from each of the project which is within the Aries itself, but having this kind of approach as can I use it, you could include this kind of frameworks as well, that it's a .NET, it's a Ruby implementation, so it's a really drilling down to the specific ecosystem, let's say Aries, and then within the Ethereum ecosystem you have a bunch of them as well which are based on the different types of the implementation and things like that. So obviously this is possible. The question is obviously the time and the effort which is needed to actually aggregate those information.
Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, so something like this is I'm trying to implement is to know what the different frameworks and whatnot can do would help me decide what and how to proceed maybe. But then it's also a platform to go forward from there with what I've got. So, but then who maintains it? So are you going to depend on the owner of individual wallets or the platforms or somebody each to maintain their own data so that this is up to date kind of thing?
Exactly. And ideally it will be, and this is what we are thinking about, is to have some sort of test suite which you can run against each of those wallets, right? So you can imagine that we could even have automated deployment, in the sense that we know that someone's building an agent or a wallet which you are able to deploy within a Docker container. You run a test suite, you run against it all the different protocols and features which could support, and you see which one are handled and which are not, right? And this is more or less how this kind of tests are done. You have basically a test suite which you are running against each browser, and you see which features are available and in which version and so on. So you can easily automate this kind of stuff. But obviously, and I think this effort which is done within the protocol test suites and the test harness is a good step in the it's a step in the right direction, because we need to automate those stuff. And the reason for that is that one of the trigger for this kind of discussion was that a lot of wallets will pop up and different companies will provide it, right? We know that the wallet provides or it is your gateway towards this decentralized data economy. This is your identity. This is means that if someone will take over this bit, then you will lose a lot, right? So this is a very delicate piece of software which needs to be protected and needs to be provided by trusted entity, right? So obviously a lot of projects are built around this vision that you run it on your own, right? You are person responsible for that. Mm-hmm. But there is a plenty of them which tells you, we run a wallet for you. You just get a credential, you get your web portal or whatever application you get, and we take care of your key management or the security of that system, updating it and all the sort of stuff, right? Which is natural kind of move because most people don't want to run anything on their own. So taking that into consideration, there already discussion started that, okay, who certify those people allowing them to actually provide a wallets, right? Imagine one day you go to Google Play Store and there is a SSI wallet provided by unknown entity from, I don't know, US, Russia, China, pick the name of the country which you don't like, and how you can be sure about what they are doing with that, if they are following all the rules, all the principles of my data and user-centric approach, SSI and stuff like that. So we need to have some sort of certification process of those wallets or those providers to be sure that we can trust them, or that the user can be sure that he can trust them without checking them, right? So obviously this kind of can I use approach is one of the steps towards that direction, to let the community to decide or kind of recommend and rate existing solutions based on their own experience and based on what they figure it out, right? So it's a kind of community-driven reputation system for the existing solutions. In the future, how this will work out, I have no idea. There are some discussions about having some kind of entity which basically certifies those wallets. So doing a really deep verification of the source code and making sure that everything is, you know, done according to the best practices and standards. But until that organization or that entity will be nominated to do this kind of stuff, we need to somehow figure it out how to protect the users. And the reason why we should protect the user is simple. Imagine that people will start right now using a wallet called SSI wallet or whatever they will be called, right? And if their identity will be compromised for simple reasons like bug in the code or wrong understanding of the crypto behind it, or the keys are floating around somewhere on the servers which the developers were not aware of, or maybe intentionally by the company who is providing that, then the whole SSI kind of movement means our community will get really bad PR, and a lot of companies will say that, okay, maybe that's not yet time to actually experiment with that technology. And it could be tricky to convince anybody to actually do it in the right way. So that's how we see it and why we are thinking about these kind of things. Because I mean, PR, I think it's quite important from the perspective of the users and involvement of the businesses around different spaces and areas.
Yeah, so I agree. You got to watch out for that sort of thing, because it could turn people off to the technology in a hurry. But the concept of can I use is, as you said, maybe a stepping stone. The whole enforcement or verification of valid wallets, or it's not just some company that's like stealing your identity when they post it and sell it to you. It's two different things though. And so how they marry, and you're going to have maybe enforcement agency using this information to verify each feature and and but the wallet functionality and bad behavior is checked too. I mean, that's a whole nother level. I don't know. That's a lot of effort, I'm sure.
Definitely. I mean, this is a long journey. It's just that we think that this step will help us to even start a discussion about, okay, how we should do it. Because you can mm-hmm. imagine that you, as a developer of the wallet, you submit your wallet into that environment and automatically all the tests are run. And at the end, you get a verifiable credential saying that you are compliant with all the standards which are defined by this test suite or whatever, right?
So yeah, defined by the features that you say you support, sure.
Exactly, something like that, which is, you know, very simple thing and something which can help, but not necessarily have to be a final kind of solution, right? Definitely will not be.
All right.
Okay, good. Any other questions or comments regarding that that part? Good. So from the perspective of the initiative and project, I mean, we are planning to bootstrap this kind of initiative within the Human Colossus Foundation. We'll host it and we'll prepare all the source code and kind of scaffold for it. If anybody is interested to help out with it or contribute, feel free to reach me. And obviously we can think about in the future where we can host it, or I mean definitely the solution will be done in a way that actually anybody can host it and anybody can run those, if there will be automated tests against the different types of the solutions, and this will be a publicly available thing. We just need to figure it out how to promote it and how to actually convince community to actually take a look on that and think about usage of such a thing. From the perspective of this, what we are doing in the Human Colossus Foundation, for us, this is interesting because we are playing a role of kind of integrator. We don't care about technology in the sense that we are agnostic of the specific implementation. For us, the most important is to enable the data flows and make sure that the SSI can be implemented in a different use cases. So this is our approach from that angle. But definitely, if you have any ideas how we actually could move forward with such idea and such a project, let me know. Feel free to share. You can find me on the Rocket Chat, or I think put here my email address because I forgot. Okay, good. So next topic is very, very close to that. Can I do? And this is something, it's pity that actually Stephen is not on the call, is it? No, because actually long time ago, I started a discussion with him based on that, what they did during IIW. So basically they gave this example of having a verifiable credential issued through the email. It means that you can get a verifiable credential by confirming that you are the owner or controlling a specific email address. And based on that, I kind of tried to kick out this kind of idea of having a GetMe VC. So something which people from our community or other communities, this is as well related with this interoperability topic, that having a specific Aries implementation of the wallet or agent or whatever you are doing, play with the credentials, let the user play with the credentials. There is a plenty of them online right now in a digital form. You can claim your account on Facebook, LinkedIn, eBay, GitHub, whatever, you name the service, there is a way to actually get some kind of verifiable credentials, which later on you can use it to be onboarded somewhere. It can be linked with the OAuth or any kind of mechanism like Open Connect and stuff like that. basically, I wanted to get back to that discussions about this kind of feature and see if the community is interested to create such a project and if it will be useful from the perspective of what you guys are doing. From our perspective, this is basically a very nice handy tooling for the sandbox. So for the demoing what the technology is able to do and how you can play with it. So increase the, some kind of education and letting people from outside to play with that technology in a much more user-friendly way. So this is just some a kind of simple static page on GitHub. There is nothing created yet. I know that the BC Gov have the mechanism for the email address issuing credential by simply verifying, sending you a link on specific email which you provided. You click the link, you get back, and then you get a credential directly from that system. So obviously there is a question, can I trust that system? So this is not something which should be taken into consideration as a production system, because obviously you need to have some kind of trusted anchor somewhere to close the chain. But overall, from the perspective of the playing with the technology and the sandboxing environment, like for example, Aries Toolbox will definitely have such a feature from perspective of this, what we are doing. I would like to ask you guys if you have any thoughts about such a project and if this will be anyhow useful for this, what you are doing and how you will envision such a, tool within the sandbox.
Robert, did you say within the sandbox or within the toolbox?
Both.
Oh.
So, I mean, the tool, Aries Toolbox, this is something which we are working on to link with a different type of credentials which you can get right away as a user. So to play with the technology, right? So me alone, I can get an email VC claiming that I'm the owner of the email, and then I can use it within the sandbox to do something with it, right? And another reason why we would like to build it is to show people how you can do a transition from existing digital world towards this decentralized world. And one of the examples is eBay, where actually you can retrieve a reputation system which the eBay have, and then you can transfer that reputation to some other place, right? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mike, you're on the call. I think you're playing with the reputation system. Is that correct?
Yep. We're actually building exactly what you're saying now. I can do a demo for people on this call at some point in the future, if you like, because we're quite advanced with our prototype, which should be done by the end of June. And we're doing exactly what you're talking. Yeah, it's looking pretty good. We're using we're kind of playing around with different technologies. I'm actually building using Street Cred. And we've got as far as actually pulling in live eBay and Etsy data. Etsy, people probably know, is a very similar kind of platform to eBay, which has a marketplace and so on. And you could pull in your reputation from both of those production data using OAuth. You can issue credentials. It uses a Street Cred wallet to store those credentials. And then I've built a sort of mock-up of Bonanza. It looks exactly the same as Bonanza, which is a downstream platform, and then you can transfer your reputation points across. And it's an end-to-end, you know, issuer, holder, verifier, and it's all working. We're kind of tidying it up at the moment, getting it ready to sort of present to the evaluators of the EU funding call that we're part of, and that is due to be done at the end of June. So we're doing exactly what you're saying, and you've got a load of other things on there. But the idea is that the concept can be applied to all manner of different reputation points or user credentials, such as, for example, Uber or Amazon. And you've got a list there of other things as well. So what we've already found is that having got it working with eBay and then Etsy, it's actually quite easy to it would be quite easy to use similar OAuth-based systems. And you can we've knocked this up in a few weeks. So with help from Street Cred, and I've been working with Matt Norton as well, and Riley Hughes over there to get some of the issues with Street Cred ironed out. So the combination of the technologies there has meant that we've come up with a pretty cool system. Yeah, so that's all going quite well. So we're obviously interested in what you're talking about.
Yeah, great. So definitely I will reach to you, Mike, to get you on one of the calls, because actually this, what you're doing is quite interesting from the perspective of the breach of the existing systems and the, you know, centralized things and going towards this kind of decentralized approach that they can take my reputation out of someone else's system and move it somewhere else.
And that's right. And what we're finding is we're trying to build a demo so that it can demonstrate to people who may not have seen self-sovereign identity and sort of ledger-based systems in the past, because it's quite a novel concept, the idea that you don't have any kind of user data stored centrally, there's no database, you register for our system and it immediately appears on your phone. And, you know, first time people see that, myself included, when I saw this a while back, it's a bit weird at first. So we're trying to build a system that's going to appeal to people sort of outside the sort of usual community of sort of technical people and spread the word, if you like. So we think we're doing quite well on that one.
Hey, Mike, thumbs up to that. And given the potential demise of Keybase, I'm glad to see someone out Keybasing Keybase.
Thank you, Sam.
Perfect. And actually, this is a very good example of what just Mike said. Why we would like to have a demo website like this GetMeVC, because a lot of people, especially within our community, obviously think about, you know, truly decentralized system and decentralized technologies, and we are building that within different kind of spaces. But obviously there is a link between existing world and the digital space and the decentralized one which we are building. And we need to show to people how actually this transition can be done and how this can be connected together. And another good example of the company which is doing this kind of bridging between those two worlds is Satus, which they are bringing up the SSI technology and the credential mechanism connecting to the identity management solutions like enterprise identity management solutions like LDAP and other kind of mechanisms which are used, and then you can breach that and still you can use the old systems for whatever purposes you're still using it, but in the same time you can slowly start shifting towards decentralized ecosystem and letting people use those credentials in slightly different ways than actually the centralized system were meant for. So that's the idea of that kind of demo website to show the possibilities of those, and obviously getting the list of the credential here listed and showing how actually you can prove that you are who you are and how you can play with this technology. I think it will be very helpful for the ecosystem to spread the news and show how mature this technology is, that even that it can integrate with existing ones. Okay, anyone other comments or thoughts about that?
Just a couple of quick comments to finish up on that one. One of the interesting things about this particular idea is it's actually forced us to think about a couple of problems that are going to be quite widespread, already are in fact, in digital identity in general, verifiable credentials specifically. The first one being that you can't always have the actual official issuer or holder of credentials as an issuer in your system. eBay and Twitter and Amazon are not going to be interested in joining your network as a participant, so you have to act as a proxy issuer. That's where their public APIs can be. That works perfectly well, but more often than not, we may well find that we can't actually have the official holder of credentials acting as, or the official sort of verifier, or whatever the word is, the person, the government, whoever actually is responsible for those credentials actually acting as an issuer. And one of the other things you've had to consider is that it's certainly in the case of some of the reputation stuff, those credentials actually change. You could have an eBay seller rating that changes on a weekly or monthly basis. And we've had to work out how to actually keep the holders' credentials in sync with their rating changing upstream. And so we're kind of putting in place a mechanism that's going to try and kind of allow for sort of revocation followed by reissue of updates on a regular basis and that kind of stuff. And then we've also got the additional problem of what happens downstream with a further it's like Dan Harbin last week talking about the delegatable chain of participants in a SSI network and how you keep them in sync and so on. So we've had to consider some of those kind of things as well. And it's very interesting when you actually start building real world applications that you actually have to start thinking about these kind of things that maybe haven't been thought about too much up to now, which is really cool. We're kind of quite enjoying the challenge of doing all that stuff.
Great, perfect. Thank you very much, Mike, for sharing that. Anyone else would like to comment or provide some input?
So I love the idea, but back up to the first general topic, I love the idea of like, here's how you can get started with VCs. What I'm unsure of what you're proposing is the method that actually happens. Is this a site that you've got in front of us that you actually links to where you can get VCs? Do we deeply integrate this within tools for demo capabilities like the toolbox? What types of things are you proposing?
So from the perspective of GetMeVC, I envision it as a kind of set of the Docker containers, which you can bootstrap whatever you like, and on the side even of your agent or whatever. And that will be something which is your sandbox to retrieving those credentials. It means that I don't want to put it and host it and let everyone go through it, because this is too dangerous from the perspective of the privacy, right? Because you are linking your, let's say, eBay account, GitHub account, Stack Overflow account. I don't want to have a centralized server which basically does that for people. Obviously, as an example, we could host it somewhere by someone. For example, in the Human Colossus Foundation, we are thinking about hosting such an example for people and making sure that none of the data will be tracked and used for whatever other purposes. But this is just a kind of contract between the foundation and the users who actually will enter that website, because this is very, very sensitive information, right? So the idea is, for the purpose of the demoing it and letting people play with it, it will be a kind of technology which you can bootstrap anywhere, even for yourself, or just demonstrate it and inspire people who are building, for example, wallets, that they can integrate this kind of stuff for themselves, right? So you can imagine that StreetCred or any other kind of provider of SSI technologies could host one of those services on their own and allow you to get a credential from Facebook, eBay, GitHub, or the company which the project which Mike is working on the same way, that they are providing credentials from eBay and so on, right? So I do not have a straight kind of vision about the roadmap for this specific implementation. As I said, I envision that as a set of the Docker containers, which allows you to do different issuing different types of the credentials from a different centralized systems and the digital space, which we know about.
So I think that's good. One of the things that I have been advocating in small ways for a while is that it would be useful if we had a credential that was low. It was a demonstration credential, but we weren't faking anything to do it. And after some thinking, what I came up with was what I call a high five credential. And the idea is that you can decide why you want to give a high five credential, but this, it's a low thing. And the only thing in the credential is the timestamp of the high five, right? Which means that it makes it a useful credential to both receive and to present in some other place. You know, you could put a demonstration together where you need to go get a high five from your grocery store and then present it to, you know, some other place for a discount or something. And that's a useful thing to have. The thing I like about this is that this actually goes to people's own reputation, but you have this catch-22 where someone, in the absence of the actual services issuing the credentials themselves, someone has to proxy issue those for them. And then we have to decide if we're going to trust that proxy issuer, et cetera. And then the security of that proxy issuer becomes a thing. Because if someone is able to get in and convince the proxy issuer to issue an errant credential, now the trust of that whole, you know, the role of that proxy issuer is in question. So, so I like the fact that we're exploring these sorts of things. I don't know that I have all the answers.
And Sam, with the if you use the phrase proxy issuer, that's the exact same phrase we've used in all of our design documentation and correspondence with everybody that we talked to. Actually, Stephen Curran came up with the idea of, he calls it notarizer, because we talked to him about this as well. And you're exactly right. That there is another issue that I mentioned with a few of the issues we have to think about is, can we trust the proxy issuer, and can our users of our system trust us to be proxy issuers in the same way that they would trust eBay to be the real issuer? So this is one of the things I was saying that in our community we're having to think about all the time, namely the whole issue of proxy issuers. I think it's a very, very big thing. We're even toying with the idea of, why do you can actually have the user loading an app themselves and actually acting as their own proxy issuer, because then they can trust themselves. That's something that's just an idea at the moment, but we're kind of thinking, do we even need the centralized sort of web server where people log in and pull credentials off and then issue it via the website, which is the model we're using at the moment. So there's a number of different ways of attacking this problem. And it'll be very interesting to see how this goes over the coming months, because we're working on this full time. So it's a very interesting subject. Yeah.
So since you brought it up, the problem with having people boot it up themselves and run it and be their own, you know, issue, you know, the proxy issuers there, is that it's difficult to land a root of trust for someone to decide that that they'll accept those credentials. I think there's a huge amount of value in having a service that actually does these things that people can decide to trust or not trust. And I had assumed that that was going to be Keybase until their recent purchase. Having an organization that steps up and says, in the absence of these other companies being real issuers, we will be the proxy issuer, and establishing, you know, being involved in governance frameworks, et cetera, around that, I think is highly valuable. I love the idea that this isn't some service that you're expected to provide for free, that if I want to get a proxy credential, that you ought to be compensated for that. And that way it cleanly lines up business models, and I'm likely to, as a holder, to trust you if I'm paying you, as opposed to something else. Now there's a whole bunch of debate there, but my main point is that I think it is hugely valuable to have a profitable business acting as a proxy issuer. Think that would actually be very healthy for the ecosystem.
Yeah, we're thinking along the same lines. We've got a guy who's spent several years working on these kind of reputation issues, and he's been looking at all sorts of business models, insurance mostly as well, to do with whether or not you would charge downstream platforms, the verifiers and the sort of recipients of where holders would eventually transfer their credentials. Would you actually charge the holders themselves? We're thinking in terms of the sharing economy, gig economy type stuff, whereby you might want to make a small charge to, for example, Uber drivers to hold their driving credentials. They can then present that to all sorts of different driving-related platforms. There's a whole massive world. It's actually a huge area. And we're doing a lot of research with a number of colleagues that have been looking at this kind of stuff for a while. There's a team in Berlin doing PhD research into reputation using self-sovereign identity and blockchain. So it's some very cool stuff. It's very cutting edge, and it's very interesting. So you're right, Sam. There's a lot of potential in this, and that's one of the reasons we got involved. So I'm very glad to hear that people are interested in this stuff, because it's what's kind of driving us at the moment. So that's good.
Okay, great. So definitely we'll get back to that topic of the proxy issuer and the topics which actually Mike brought up. So we'll try to schedule something for the next calls. And before we drop off, we still have 2 minutes. I wanted to brought up the topic of the Aries toolbox and the branching strategy for it. And simple question, should we I don't know if we are able to decide on that call or not. It doesn't matter. I wanted to brought it up to see if we can get it somewhere. The branching strategy means that, as I mentioned, the Aries toolbox right now is evolving on our side as a web-based version of the toolbox. And there is a standalone which is packed as Electron app, which people can install on the on their laptops or the machines. The question is, should we split those two projects as a separate ones, or should we just go for the different branches for version for the web and version for the standalone, which for me make more sense taking into consideration the way how actually the Aries toolbox is implemented right now.
So the question that I have around that I don't have a good answer to, and you probably don't have time to decide here, I would love there to not be a branch and to instead have two separate build paths. That way we're not constantly managing and sharing between the branches, but rather you can either build it for hosted web and in a browser, or you can build it for Electron, and then either one of them works and the differences are managed there.
Perfect.
I don't know if that's possible, but that's what I'd love to have happen.
That's really good point. We'll evaluate that and we'll find out if there is a way to do it that way. And if there is, we'll definitely try it out. So I will give you an update on that as soon as we'll find out something. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Sam. And thank you very much, everyone. We hit the hour. Hope you enjoy that. And see you on the next call. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.